gold-plated diapers.
Hey, Jellyheads, and welcome to another episode of
Flapdoodle Forum.
Where we discuss strange occurrences in society and culture.
And provide our insights and feedback for you to enjoy.
I'm Lucas Wilson.
And I'm Matt Buckley.
And welcome to our show.
The first episode of season two.
How about that, Matt?
So we got some pretty awesome stuff
to share. I think it's awesome. I don't know and what you're sharing. Right. I don't know what I'm sharing.
My stuff is pretty awesome. I'm very confident in that. We're switching things up tonight. I'm going to actually be going first. Lucas, you're usually the first one to share. I figured that the first story I have is kind of a short, fun little thing. Get us started with a bang. And then a more discussion-worthy piece. So I've got a pretty good helping of awesomeness on my behalf. I don't know what you got cooking, but I'll get us started off here.
I don't really know either.
All right. This is off of one of my favorite tech blogs, which I've actually never gotten a Flapdoodle story from before, but I read regularly. It's called Chinese Father Pushes Son to Kick Gaming Addiction by Hiring Virtual Assassins to Kill His MMO Character. So basically, somewhere in China, a dad was sick of his 20-something-year-old son sitting at home and playing MMO video games nonstop. So he came up with a pretty creative solution to try to get him to stop and get up and start looking for a job. He actually hired a bunch of virtual assassins to basically hunt down his son's MMO character in the game and repeatedly kill him and harass him until he actually decided to stop playing.
Wait, so what is a virtual assassin?
A virtual assassin is just a character created to kill other characters for profit.
So are there actual people who make a living off of...
I don't think anybody makes a living off of this, but it's it could be a growing niche of making some money on the side, I guess.
Maybe they do make a living. That would assume that maybe this is such a big problem.
Right,
that people get worse.
Because you always hear about, like, especially in Asia, not to say stereotypically they're worse about it, but, like, Koreans dying from playing StarCraft and, like, MMO being huge in China and everything. People, like...
Are MMOs huge in China?
That's what I've heard.
Where is that image from?
I have no idea.
Is it real or a video game image?
That's a video game image.
Yeah, I thought so. I can't see it from here.
You'll have to look later, or if any of our fans can identify what it is, you'll have to let us know.
Yeah, let us know. I don't know what game it is.
But let me just say this. At the end of the little article here, it says, "Let this be a lesson to all you crafty entrepreneurs out there thinking you can become can make a fortune by creating a virtual dark brotherhood to take out game addicts, MMO characters. This sort of intervention apparently isn't all that effective because it turns out that it didn't get the guy to stop playing the game."
Okay, his dad just flushed money down.
Exactly, yeah. But you got to give him props, though, for thinking outside the box.
So, Matt, all right.
Yeah?
What game are you, like, most, like, addicted to or, like, were? Like, you just played hours
of... Right now, probably Call of Duty.
Call of Duty?
All yeah.
Right. So, say you got, like, just hooked on this.
Okay.
And nothing your parents did could get you to stop. So then your dad, like, is, like, somehow has a way to hire somebody to get in, like, every match.
Every single lobby.
Every lobby, every match.
Yeah.
And just this guy just kills you every turn. And, like, he's like, his skill level is, like, 20 times above yours.
Okay. So and he always is gunning for me. Like, he knows where I am.
He's always gunning for you. He's always looking for you. He ignores everybody else, just goes for you. Would you quit the game?
I think for a while I'd try to see if I can find a way around it. Like, see if I can somehow block him or play at a different time when he's not available or something like that.
Uh-huh. But this is his job, man.
I don't think somebody's going to stay up around the clock.
Well, maybe he gets an alert when you're...
I don't think my parents are willing to pay that much money to somebody.
Maybe he has a system that lets you alert when, like, your account goes online for this game. And then he's like, I'm on it.
You know what would be even funnier?
What?
If my parents hired, like, a ring of these assassins, so, like, every game I got in, like, the entire team was full of them. So there was no... Instead of just one person.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wouldn't even stand a chance, like, spawn killing. Then I'd probably not want to play.
But you said, this is bullshit, I'm done.
Yeah.
After wondering how...
Which is what I say usually after Call of Duty anyway, but... Yeah, something to that effect.
Yeah, okay. I remember back in high school days, I used to play hours of Halo 2.
Dude, that was our stuff.
That was...
Yeah,
that was...
we had a ring of about, I don't know, 5 or 6 friends that would all hop on after school.
It was almost like... A little bit... When Halo came out, it was like in high school, but then like summertime after that, we were like on that thing for like 6 hours straight a day. Like I get home, and like I could make an excuse. I went to, Kevin and I would row for like 3 hours in the morning, like heavy, intense endurance exercise, and you know from like 6 in the morning, 9, 10 o'clock, and then we would get home,
just play Call like 10 o'clock, and play Halo for the rest of the night.
Play Halo until like dinner.
Uh huh.
Like all 6 of us. It was like
those were some real. That was a great summer.
That
I think we was that the summer we started making Machinima too.
Yes,
that was good.
See, around the same time.
See, I still think even with all of the games I've played, that Halo 2 is probably the most fun I've had, like, in an online
setting. Yes, that was the, I had the
like,
most
the maps were awesome. We always had a blast with everyone we played with. We met like people.
I like playing, like, I realized I like playing online games with friends.
Yeah.
And, like, usually I didn't like playing them online if I didn't have somebody to play with.
So right.
Like, it was like Halo 2. It was like people were always on, and I could always hang out with them.
Plus, it was just a lot of fun. Like, there's so much you could do in the game.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was revolutionary because there was nothing else like that on a console. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Next topic!
Anyway, moving on to my next story. I am very interested in food.
Yeah?
And certain topics interest me a lot.
I don't know. It seems to me you're more interested in a certain aquatic food more than
sushi.
Anything else.
I'm very interested in sushi, but just food in general. And then there's certain things like spicy food.
Oh, I love spicy.
Now, you might have heard this story, but like it always kind of intrigues me when I read a story that comes out like, oh, this new pepper is like whatever on the Scoville scale, blah, 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 right? Well, I found a story about a doctor who became the first person to eat the world's hottest curry, and it's pretty interesting stuff.
Okay. Hit me up, man. What's up?
The story comes from the Daily Mail, which is
Daily Mail.
It's a British publication, which I get a lot of my stories from. A British doctor has become the first person to finish the world's hottest curry at a UK restaurant, despite suffering hallucinations brought on by
what?
The dish. Consultant radiologist Ian Rothwell, 55, took over an hour to eat the Widower curry, which tops 6 million units on the Scoville scale and is hotter than a drink of anti-riot tear gas. And it's filled with 20 Naga Infinity chilies, and it's so dangerous it has to be prepared by chefs wearing goggles and a face mask. And it took this guy like an hour to finish, I guess, and at one point he had to just get up, leave the table, and go for a walk outside, and he was like hallucinating.
Wait, they didn't put like blowfish venom in it, did they?
It doesn't say, but as far as I'm aware, I mean, it's just the peppers and the chili and stuff. But yeah, he was hallucinating. And he just had like a glass of beer, I guess. The restaurant owner offered him milk, but he declined, so he was just drinking beer. Now, the funniest part of this, I think, is the reason he did it was because his daughter, which is, she's like 23,
mm-hmm.
her boyfriend, I guess, and some of his friends tried to do it and they failed. So he did it to show him up, basically.
Does he?
Because he's like an experienced curry eater.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, and these guys that tried to do it that were his daughter's boyfriend and friends, I guess, couldn't even eat like a teaspoon of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he just went and just annihilated the whole thing.
He's the only person to do this.
Yes. In the comments, everyone was saying he was stupid, but I think that's pretty badass.
Yeah, it borders.
Yeah,
borders.
I mean, it's a little
stupidity and badassery.
It's a little reckless. But
so that reminds me, Pat's told me about this one show. Some guy going around trying foods out. It was a documentary about this guy trying out spicy foods. Like traveling the world trying
out
spicy
foods. Was it like Man
versus
Food? Because they have spicy foods on there a lot.
I think it was exclusively this documentary. It was just this guy trying to find like the spiciest foods. And one time he ate like this one pepper, this one spicy food. And all of a sudden he goes, huh, I can't taste anything. And then all of a sudden like everybody just stops and goes, you have to stop eating right now. It was so spicy it killed his taste buds.
Permanently?
No, he ended up, the rest of the documentary is him going through, like, therapy to get his taste back.
Wow.
I don't know what he ate, but whatever he did ate, he couldn't handle and just killed his taste.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But see, like, the spicy food topics just kind of interest me because I want to know, like, what's the spiciest thing out there? Like, how powerful is this stuff?
I'll hit like a wall with spicy stuff. Like if it's so spicy that it doesn't even taste good anymore.
Yeah,
it's
like
just hot. Like,
right.
Like
if
I
it,
have to think like wasabi.
Oh
to me,
yeah. Oh my god. I can't
even
handle
hot.
It.
To me, it doesn't taste good. It just tastes hot, and I'm like,
you like you hit a point of diminishing returns where like it takes away from the flavor of what you're eating so much, and just makes it just straight up spicy that you don't even want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Like sometimes, like some foods, I'm like, I'll really be like, oh man, I really love that because it has like a really nice zest to it. It's not too hot.
Mm-hmm.
and it just enhances the flavor.
Yeah, like at Chipotle, the medium salsa that they have there.
I wish I could find out what salsa they had, because I would like to just get it for myself.
Yeah, because it's spicy, like it's got a kick to it, but it doesn't detract from the rest of the
meal.
I mean,
when I first started eating those burritos, that stuff was pretty hot to me, but now I'm like, it's just average, yummy goodness.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know Pat's a pretty...
He's big on the spicy foods.
I know he, up in Maine, this is a store in Bath. That sells all manner of Maine-made products.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was a selection of spice, of like hot sauces. And like they all had like a scale of 1 to 10. But there was one sauce there, like out of 10, it was a 12. Pat bought it.
Did he actually...
Yeah, I think it's still just sitting around, but he had it a couple times. It's like, yeah, it's pretty hot, but you know, it's not too bad.
We need to ask Pat, like, what's the spiciest thing he's ever had, if he's an aficionado.
No, man, too bad he's not here right now.
Oh, man.
Just call him up, tell him.
We could have used him as a consultant on this episode.
Yeah.
Only I had known.
Now you're making me want to go out and get something to eat.
Something spicy.
Yeah.
What, do you have any idea how that Scoville system works?
No, how do you...
Like, yeah, I want to kind of do some more research just to see how they calculate it, or what it's based off of.
Are you looking on Wikipedia?
Well, Lucas, it just so happens, conveniently enough, I have the Wikipedia page pulled up of the Scoville scale, so we can kind of...
How convenient!
Look into this. Yes.
What a coincidence!
Yes. hold on, I'm going to try to read and speak at the same time here. The scale is named after its creator... Scoville. A pharmacist named Wilbur Scoville. His method, devised in 1912, is known as the Scoville organoleptic test. And it's 1912. So, 100 years. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Seems like something more recent.
It's a quantitative analysis that uses high-performance liquid chromatography, making it possible to directly measure capsaicinoid content.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to do a little bit more research here.
Find out what a capsaicinoid is.
Well, I know capsaicinoids are they're components of the pepper, basically. Like, they're what causes the heat.
Okay.
I believe. They have health benefits, too. Because when I worked at GNC, we sold, like, cayenne in supplement form, which supposedly helps with digestion.
I also heard that eating spicy foods speeds your metabolism up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Although, who knows how much of that...
Clears your sinuses, too, obviously.
Obviously. But who knows how much of that is pseudoscience and how much is fact.
You mean bro science.
Bro science.
So basically, there's this huge scale here. I guess it goes up to like 16 million, but that would probably kill you or something. Or no, wait, that's 16 billion.
Billion?
I don't even...
What was the
guy? Resinurefatoxin?
Is it the hottest pepper or something?
Hold on, let me click it. It's probably like a chemical compound or something.
Well, what was the one the guy ate? What was the scale for him?
I think it was 8 million or something like that. So 16 million?
So this billion one is like, if you get anywhere near your tongue, you're going to like kill yourself. Jeez, if you got that in your eyes, you'd probably friggin' melt them off.
Oh, yeah. Animal experiments indicate that ingestion of 40 grams or more may be fatal or cause serious damage to health, obviously. Dang.
What is it found in?
It is... Doesn't say. It's just some... I don't know.
Big surprise.
It's just some compound. But it is naturally occurring, so it's found in some sort of pepper or something. Yeah.
Doggy.
That's my story, Luke.
So, where did Tabasco sauce fall in all this? What is that made from?
Hold on, there was actually a scale with a bunch of examples.
I really like the flavor of Tabasco sauce.
Alright, let's see if Tabasco is on here. Actually, yeah, Tabasco pepper is between the 30,000 and 50,000 range.
So what is like a Chipotle pepper?
Chipotle pepper. 3,500 to 8,000.
That's like a mile.
Oh, wait. Tabasco sauce is in that range as well.
Oh, okay.
As is the jalapeno, New Mexican varieties of Anaheim pepper.
Like, that's my range. That's...
Yeah, that's a good...
That's the jalapeno range.
The no significant heat is the bell pepper, Cubanelle, and... I don't even know how to say that, so I'm not going to try.
What about a banana pepper?
I don't see that on here.
It's probably like on the bottom.
But if you step it up a notch, we got bird's eye chili, aka Thai chili pepper. And then at 100,000, you get to the habanero chili and Peruvian white habanero, Jamaican hot peppers.
Isn't like habanero sauces on some... I got one restaurant, they're like, oh, juicy habanero sauce.
I guess it's pretty spicy. And then up to 855,000 to 1.5 million. You got the Naga Viper, which I think is a form of what this guy ate, the Infinity Chili, and Trinidad Scorpion Butch Tea Pepper. And then above that, at 1.5 million and up, it just lists most law enforcement grade pepper spray and Trinidad Moruga Scorpion.
And this guy's thing fell where again? I already flew out of my mind.
6 million.
6 million. I could not take that.
Obviously. It said that most people can't even handle a teaspoon of it.
Have you, these two girls were doing the cinnamon challenge.
Yeah, cinnamon can be pretty spicy.
It can be pretty spicy. And, you know, the cinnamon challenge is like you try to down a whole tablespoon of cinnamon.
Yep.
Which is, like, pretty painful. Could be. And because it's a powder, like, you go in there, yeah. You're like, boo! And all of a sudden, cloud of...
Uh-huh.
Of, all right, so that alone, you know, but these two guys, like, were administering the doses to him. They were like, here you go, here you go. And they gave one of the girls, because the powders looked exactly the same, they put cayenne pepper...
Oh, man.
And the one girl's spoon, and they both put them in, and she puts it in her mouth, and she starts screaming, and then there's a powder cloud
oh, man.
Of chili in the air, and she's, like, spitting in the sink and washing all the water. She's screaming and screaming and screaming, and then, like, the last, like, few seconds of her is eating, she's just spoonful and cottage cheese in her mouth to try and cool her mouth down.
Oh, sounds funny.
I heard, like, milk is okay. But the best I think I heard is yogurt. Best cool.
What? Yeah, any dairy product should do the trick, right? I wonder what ice cream would be in effectiveness. Because that's already super cold.
It's already really cold.
And then it's a base because it has milk.
Yeah.
We should experiment this.
Experiment.
Luke, let's go to the store, grab some cayenne powder and a carton of ice cream.
We could probably just get the ice cream because I already have in the spice cabinet, I already have tons of jalapeno powder and red pepper flakes and stuff.
This will be a flapdoodle experiment. But yeah, I just want to throw one more thing in. This is kind of not really meaningful, but cinnamon can be pretty spicy. I got, I'm kind of a tea aficionado,
mm-hmm.
and the latest tea I got was a cinnamon/chai blend.
Oh, I like chai.
Yeah. You go to Teavana, they got really good high quality teas there. And I tried it. At the store, they had a sample, and I really liked it, and they had their own sweeteners and stuff. I brought it home and brewed up a cup, and it was good, but at the end, it gets really spicy because the cinnamon, when it's pure form, kind of settles at the bottom. Yeah, and then it's kind of gritty, and I don't like spicy drinks, you know? You don't really drink something and expect it to be spicy or want it to be spicy.
Spice chai.
I guess. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Okay.
And now we switch off.
Woo! Next topic!
All right, ready?
Yep.
Okay, man, here's mine. Star Wars fans build full-size Millennium Falcon.
Nice.
Have you heard this one?
No, I don't think I have, actually.
All right.
Keep reading, we'll see if it jogs my memory.
Star Wars fans around the world are coming together on the internet to construct a real-life version of the film's Millennium Falcon spacecraft. Conceived by a U.S. fan in Nashville, Tennessee, the full-scale Millennium Falcon project aims to use the internet to crowdsource efforts to build the famous ship, which will be adorned with all the trimmings and aside from a working engine. With the help of an intricately designed 3D model created by college student Stinson Lenz, a project contributor in Alabama has already erected the console of the craft, as well as one of the two laser guns. Project founder Chris Lee has purchased an 88-acre plot of land in Tennessee on which the ship will be built. He intends to use the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy as a place to hold workshops for students who wish to learn to wield, paint, or build. The BBC Matt's Blurblur visits Dr. Lee in Tennessee and other contributor Greg Dietrich in Alabama.
Wow.
Should I play the video?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Fast forward.
About that, man. The coolest piece of junk.
Yeah. So how long do you think it would take them to put that together?
I mean, if people really put their minds to it, 5 years sounds like it could work. Crazy. I mean, if people just kept doing it, although it seems like they'd be doing it in their spare time. So who knows? I mean,
they should probably maybe put together a Kickstarter or something.
Yeah.
And that's the king of crowdsourcing.
I mean, I'm sure plenty of people would be.
Yeah, if people don't have the skill sets to actually contribute in the form of blueprints or making things, they can at least donate.
There's millions
and millions of Star Wars fans out there.
I know. I would think that this would be able to. There's so many Star Wars fans that would want to see a full scale replica of the Millennium Falcon exist, be able to go there and check it out. I mean, that's almost like such a cool idea that it'd be cool to just build that as your house and live in it, you know?
Be a pretty cool pad.
I'd almost want to do it.
I think it's really inspiring, too. What else can the internet come together to create, through this crowdsourcing stuff, you know?
Yeah,
like,
man.
Like warthogs from Halo and...
People have done that. People have done that.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen any warthogs?
Only in, like, the live-action stuff for Halo.
Well, people have done it before. I mean, like, there was one movie that got... I forgot what it's called. There's one British film... Like, it had a lot of attention at first, but then it just, like, went silent. And then all of a sudden, all the props and stuff were up for auction because everybody just kind of bailed on the project. Uh-huh. But he took, like, a Land Rover, stripped it down to, like, the chassis and engine and stuff, and turned that into a warthog. Like, a full-on warthog. Wow. And it was cool.
That's pretty sick.
The only difference was that you were driving on the... How about an AT-AT?
A what?
An AT-AT, Walker.
Oh, yeah.
That thing
I'm
would
surprised
be...
nobody's tried to do that yet.
Well, maybe after this, some people might be like...
I think if this succeeds and people actually see that it's possible, then more of these projects are going to surface, especially with Kickstarter around, which is such an easy way to get going with that.
Yeah. I mean, I can see this project just, like, if you got people to donate, if you have enough excitement for it, you could, like, have $1 million or $2.
At least, yeah.
And that'd be enough to make this thing. I mean, I don't know, if you could get enough volunteers coming out, you could get it done in 5 years. Maybe more realistically 10, but, yeah.
Who knows what else is possible?
Who knows what else is possible, man? So would you want to, so if you could, say they built this, and then they were like, Matt, we want you to have it, live in it. Would you live in it?
Duh. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally.
That'd be so sick.
I know.
I'd just be worried about, like, the lack of privacy, because everybody's going to want to, like, check out your awesome home.
Well, maybe it's, like, far in, got a long driveway. And I'm just opening it up to... It's kind of like those people who build, like, these ridiculous home theater systems.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them, you're just like, oh, man, I wish. Remember that? Did you show me... Were you the one with the Batman home theater?
Yep.
Yeah. Nerdist posted, like, a list of...
I wish I could visit that.
I know, me too. Nerdist had a list of, like, nerdy, crazy expensive theater systems. Mm-hmm. And other ones were, like... One was, like, a derelict spaceship. Another one was, like, Starship Enterprise. Another was, like, some bar on the Enterprise. And there was this pirate ship and
Wow. All
manner of different home theaters. I'm like, oh, man, I wish I had, like...
If I had $1 million to blow, I'd...
I mean, if I had a ton of money, I don't think I would live in a particularly large house. But, like,
the one
area that I'd probably blow a lot of money in is, like, the home theater.
Oh, yeah, you gotta go all out with that.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of the house can be fairly average, but the home theater has to be like...
Well, one thing about this story, it kind of evokes thoughts about, like, a more simpler form of community, like, where there's a common objective and everybody just lends whatever they're good at to complete the objective. Like, oh, this person's good at welding, this person can draw blueprints, this person can whatever, you know, put the stuff together.
Yeah.
So everyone's just lending their talents, and with the internet, it makes it so much easier to find people willing to do this.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there aren't more projects like this.
Maybe this will get stuff like that going. I mean, like, a lot of these web series and independent movies and stuff popping up on the internet are kind of like crews of people just donating their time because they love doing what they do, and they just, like, you know, this person's good at this, and this person's good at that. I mean, like, our own projects kind of fall along those lines sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean.
Well, man. So that's what I got for you, man.
I liked it, man.
Any more you want to talk about?
Not at this particular point in time.
No, all right.
I think we had a pretty good show.
Good show.
Some interesting stuff.
Nice kickoff to the new season.
Jellyheads, watch out for the virtual assassins that might be coming to hunt you down.
Yeah, don't spend too much time on your video games there. You know, you could be out there building the replica of your spaceship of your dreams, guys. Don't just sit inside playing video games all day.
Or you could be out there consuming the world's hottest curry.
Yeah, you could outdo Dr. What's-His-Face.
You can eat two of those widower curries instead of just one.
Just one, yeah.
And then
show how much steel you coated on your tongue to get this job done. Jeez, can you imagine what that's going to feel like on the way out?
Oh my god, yeah. Just having like a spicy meal is like disastrous for me. I can't even imagine consuming that much super, super, super spicy food.
He's probably going to be bleeding out of his...
He's going to need painkillers for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'd be surprised if he could say ulcers from, like, the acid just ripping through his intestines.
Oh, man, I can only imagine.
Seems to be the end of our show.
Thanks for listening.
Just like, yeah. Thanks, listeners, for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to find others, you can just hop on over to our website at psychojellyfish.com to find more episodes and other shows. If that doesn't suit you, though, you can also find us on iTunes and on Stitcher, if you're the mobile device kind of individual.
Like myself.
If you have any thoughts, words, questions, or maybe some interesting news topics you'd like to send our way, you can just email them to us at email@cyclejellyfish.com. And if you're a fan of the show, we would appreciate it if you would hop on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/cyclejellyfish and give us a thumbs up so we know that we have
thumbs
all
up in
these
the
adoring fans and that you love us, and then you
want more.
You can start doing things and people like, look how many people love us. Give us more money.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. And you can also subscribe to us on Twitter, which Matt is the account holder.
Yes. And I would love if we had some more followers, so my twitting posting felt a little bit more meaningful. All right, at least like 20, 25 followers.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of like,
come on, 25 followers.
All right, I'm setting a goal. We got to hit 25 followers by the end of the month.
By the end of the month. If you haven't gone to the Twitter and liked us yet, then shame on you.
Hop
you
on,
call yourself a jelly cast and jelly head. All right. Been a lovely show. We're your hosts, Lucas Wilson.
And Matt Buckley.
Keep it psycho.
Well, we discussed...
Luke! Come on! It's not even that hard.